Most people don't know what's holding them back, but you do because you listen to me, Sam, your self-care guru and journal junkie. Welcome to Journal Entries, your safe place where you can tune in weekly to get tips, tricks, and journal prompts to uncover your feelings, gain clarity, and make your move. Hello, welcome to this week's journal entry. We have a special guest, Leslie Martinez. She is a certified life coach, a fellow podcaster, and a journal creator. In this episode, we talk about goal setting, how to get unstuck, and move past procrastination, which if you've been around for a little while, you know procrastination is something that I have definitely dealt with. Leslie shares tangible tips on exactly how to set goals, especially if you haven't set them in a while, how to move through procrastination, and she ends with sustainable habits to make sure that your goals don't stay goals and don't stay on your vision board. They actually become a reality. Real quick, if you're a mom who maybe hasn't set goals in a while, or you have these goals and dreams, but you don't know how to manage them and go after them with all of the responsibilities and priorities that you have as a mom, stay tuned for next week, or make sure you're following this podcast, Journal Entries, because next Monday, I am kicking off Beyond Mom Mode. It's a 5-day podcast series where I'm going to be walking you through exactly how to do that, exactly how to be the fun, present, patient mom while pursuing your dreams and goals and like having something for yourself and feeling joy for yourself outside of being a mom. It's totally free. And if you register at the link in the show notes, you get 3 bonus resources all for free as well. You'll get my How to Start Journaling Guide, which is way more than gratitude. It'll actually help you feel something. You'll also get my Journal Prompt Archive, which has 100 journal prompts based on emotional goals like stress, self-sabotage, communication, and even journal prompts for the good days when you wake up feeling great. And then also my breakthrough blueprints, which help you navigate big emotions or even big situations. My pet peeve with journal prompts is that they're not personal. They're not specific to what somebody needs. And this is the one guide that you will need to actually process and work through what it is that you are going through. And you'll end with hope and validation and clarity and actual action steps to get what you want and get to how you want to feel. So all of that is for free. Typically, it's not. It's on sale on my website, but you get it for free when you register for the Beyond Mom Mode 5-day series at the landing page. But again, that will start on Monday, December 2nd. So I hope you tune in. Okay, let's dive into the episode with Leslie.
Welcome, Leslie. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Samantha. Thank you. I'm excited to share with you today.
So we're going to be talking about goal setting, how to get unstuck, which I think is a popular phrase right now. But just when you say unstuck, people just know what stuck is, right? That feeling. And how to get past procrastination. But before we dive in, do you want to just share a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
Yes, thank you. Well, I am a life coach. I'm a current life coach and podcaster right now. I actually was a teacher for several years. I worked with youth from like nursery, basically up to high school. I do still truckle in the classroom every now and then. I substitute teach a couple of days a week. And that's just my way to still connect with the younger generation. I mainly do high school. But I am passionate about really helping women to achieve their goals and really to get unstuck. I was in a season where I was stuck for a really long time. And a lot of the tools and resources that I'm going to share with your audience today are things that I implemented into my life that helped me to move forward. And I saw the impact that it had on my life. And I was like, hey, I mean, by nature, I'm a teacher. So I really wanted to teach other women these methods because I know that it wasn't just me that was like stuck in a season of my life where I felt like I wanted to do more, but I didn't know what, I didn't know how. And as a teacher, I was so used to creating goals for my students. You know, I mean, when it came to my classroom, we had curriculum plans, we had notebooks where we would take our kids from, you know, starting in the beginning of August all the way to June and have them progress and make goals. But when it came to making daily or personal goals, I should say, when it came down to making personal goals for myself, I was like, what? I'm allowed to have personal goals? Like I can have ambitions outside of being a teacher or a mom. And I think a lot of women struggle with that. So that's where I really found my passion in wanting to help women to get unstuck and pursue their goals that they have and not just feel that they are labeled by, you know, their career or by being a mom or a wife. We are driven by nature to wear many hats. And that's what I want to teach the audience is, hey, there are practical, very simple ways to get unstuck, to stop procrastinating, and to take action on your goals. And that's what I'm passionate about.
I love that. I feel like women and moms especially give so much to other people that eventually there even becomes anger and resentment behind the fact that we don't set goals for ourselves. Like there becomes a realization at some point that it's like, wait, when was the last time that I did something for myself that was bigger than like gifting myself a massage or like getting myself a cup of coffee? And so for you, what would you say is like the starting point for somebody that's there? That's like, okay, I haven't set a personal goal in so long. Like, where do I even start? Like, there's so many possibilities, yet also it's kind of like, you don't even know where to think because you haven't had that thought process in so long.
It's that truly is the most difficult part, Samantha. Like, it is crazy how, you know, like I said, us women, we tend to wear many hats and we, you know, we want to be involved in everything. And a lot of times we women tend to be people pleasers. We just want to please everybody. You know, we want to please our family. We want to please our coworkers, our bosses, all of that. So when it comes to wanting to like just start and say, hey, I really want to start creating personal goals for myself. The best way is really to write them down. Like it sounds so simple and so cliche, but I mean, we're a journaling community, right? So writing down your goals is just essential. I am huge on teaching the SMART goal format and SMART goals. And how you would write it down is you want to be specific. You want your goal to be measurable. You also want it to be attainable, realistic, and timely. So when you're writing a goal out, you want to make sure that it kind of fits the SMART goal format. It's easy for us to write a goal and say like, oh, I want to lose weight. Okay, that's a great goal. But what does that look like? How many pounds do you want to lose? Like you want to be specific. I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, by when? I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of the year. So say like December 31st. That's a goal. Is it attainable? Is 10 pounds attainable like in the next 5 months? It can be. That's roughly, you know, what, two, like maybe 2 pounds a month, if that, a little bit more. Is that something attainable? Yes. Now, if someone were to say, oh, I have a goal of losing 50 pounds by December, that's where we tend to be like overachievers and we set really huge, huge goals. And then we don't achieve them. And they are so far out there that it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm never going to lose 50 pounds by December. Well, yeah, no, because you're being unrealistic with the goal. So reality kind of, you know, starts to set in that you have to be very realistic with your goals. You have to be realistic with what the terms are of a goal also. So not only do you need to write a goal out in that SMART goal formula. And again, for your listeners, if I would say definitely write this down. And SMART goal is be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and then timely. And then when you set a goal, you want to look at what are the terms of that goal. And this is another like acronym. Again, I'm a teacher. I try to give like easy ways to remember this stuff. So, okay, I have a SMART goal. What are my terms for this goal? And terms stands for what is your time? What is your energy? What are your resources? What money is it going to cost you? And what sanity is at cost? So you have to look at these two things of creating a realistic goal and then looking at the terms. So if your goal was, I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of the year, that's a pretty realistic goal. And it's attainable. It can be attainable. So now you look at what are the terms? What is the time? Okay. What time is it going to take? It's going to take maybe meal prepping. It's maybe going to take some extra exercise. What is the energy? Meal prepping and exercise, that's going to take like some of your energy. Whatever is taking your time is going to take that same amount of energy. Look at what are the resources. Do you have a budget that you can meal prep? Maybe the resources include a gym membership. And then look at that kind of like your resource and money, like what you do have and what money you're going to output. So your resources, maybe you don't have the money. Maybe it's about, okay, I don't want to join a gym membership right now, but what do I have at home that I can do to work out? Maybe I can just start walking for now. Maybe it's just watching some YouTube exercise videos at home. And then what is the cost of your sanity? Is this something that you truly can commit to on a weekly basis? So that's truly where you want to start, is just being really practical and sitting down and writing these things out, writing out the SMART goal, and then writing out what your terms are for that goal. Oftentimes when we sit and look at it on a piece of paper and we start writing, you know, goals out and look at all these different, you know, terms and decide, you can determine, is this a goal that I really want to pursue? Is it going to be valuable time and energy for me to do this? There have been goals that I have written down, Samantha, that I did the whole, you know, SMART goal terms and everything. And I start aiming towards the goal. And then like a few months in or something, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just not feeling this goal anymore. Things change and it's okay. Like, don't feel like a failure because you never achieved it. Seasons change, you know, our lives change. And sometimes there are goals that you just, what you thought is something that you wanted. Maybe once you start pursuing it also, you realize, you know what? This really isn't what I thought. Being healthy. I mean, that's a huge goal to say, oh, I just want to be healthy. Okay. Well, what does healthy look like for you? I have a goal personally right now of writing a book. I want to become an author. And that is a big, huge goal to like chew on. Right. So when you have big goals of something like really audacious like that, like I want to be an author, I want to write a book. And I have no idea how to write a book. Like I don't even know an author. Actually, I do. I take that back. I do know people that have written books now. This podcast space has allowed me to do that. But when I sit down and look at this like big goal, I'm like, what does it look like? What does it mean? And there are ways to build up to these bigger goals, you know? So I've been kind of creating paper products, so to say, like I've been creating journals, looking at different products that I can create that is kind of preparing me for doing something big, like a book, like sitting down and writing, you know? So there are steps that you can take that can align you with your big goal, but it's going to allow you to kind of test that big goal, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different methods that you can put into place that can allow you to test the waters of these goals, but also to make sure that you are in alignment with where it is that you want to go.
That was incredible. All of that. I really love terms. That acronym, I think, could be so helpful in really understanding, like, I think so often we say like, I want this or I want that. And like, this is the life or the goal that I want, but we don't stop to think like, okay, well, this is what it involves, right? This is what it means. Like, okay, well, this is what you're going to have to do. And that's like what the terms are. So I love that approach of just thinking about it in that way and clearly seeing and acknowledging and writing down, like, this is what you're going to have to do. Do you accept these terms almost? And when you said like the realistic part of the goal, of the SMART goal, it has to be realistic. And then I think what you were saying when it came to the terms, it needed to be practical. You said the word practical. And I thought if it's unrealistic and unpractical, but it's still something you're going towards, I feel like that is where people still go for something that's unrealistic, like the 50-pound weight loss or, you know, $1 million in 6 months or something. And then that's where you feel stuck, though, because you don't reach that goal And you don't stop to think like, well, maybe it was unrealistic. You don't compare it to your SMART goals or the terms. Is that where you feel like people get stuck? And how do you get unstuck?
That's a great observation, because it's very easy for people to make ridiculous goals. And I'm not like a dream killer. Like, shoot for the stars, you know? Like, you want to hit $1 million in 6 months, go for it. But list out, like, how are you going to do that? Don't just like wish upon a star type of thing, you know? Like, you need to take action steps. Can you lose 50 pounds in 5 months? Hey, if you think you can lose 10 pounds a month, go for it. But put in place what it is that you need to achieve. Like, you need to be very well disciplined. And just know that, like, this next season, that's all you're going to be focused on. And people have, you know, you see all these big, you know, celebrities or business people that have hit crazy, ridiculous goals like that. You hear of these like dream stories, you know, it's like, oh, they went to town, but there was cost for that. I mean, some of these people literally did not sleep for days trying to reveal their new product or their next, innovation, so to say. So I don't want to be like the dream killer and say, like, don't reach audacious goals. Like, no, go for them. But again, knowing what your terms are and what your costs. However, looking at what you do have versus where you want to go. So these are the resources that I have. This is what is available to me. How can I take this with me into the next phase that I'm going into? I think where people actually really get stuck, though, Samantha, is they kind of struggle with self-worth. So in working with a lot of my clients, they get stuck. A lot of it has to do with more of an emotional toll rather than an actual, like, physical aspect of achieving the goal. I know for me personally, I had to overcome a lot of self-doubt that I had to truly gain the confidence and the self-worth that I needed to chase after these goals, you know, to become an author. Like, that I'm not an author yet, but to tell my story, I had to kind of unpack some things to say, am I willing to be very vulnerable and share some of the stuff that I felt that God is putting on my heart to share in a book? And there were some things that I had to work on the inside. So when I sit with life coaching clients and we're trying to sit and achieve a goal, a lot of times really has to do with unpacking some emotional barriers that stop us from aiming for these goals. It's very simple to sit down and write out a SMART goal or write out your terms, but it's another thing to have the self-confidence and the self-worth to know that, hey, I can do this goal and I am worthy of whatever the outcome is of this goal. And I think that's where a lot of people really struggle, is with the emotional connection that goes into achieving those goals.
Yes, the emotional piece to almost everything, I think, sometimes goes overlooked, but it plays such a huge role. And when you pull back the curtain and actually take a look at how am I feeling about this internally, and like look at that self-worth and belief and the doubt that's behind it, and when you can target those things, the rest almost seems to fall in place. Like, you become open to more possibilities and opportunities, and you become more solution oriented rather than focusing on the problem. So I love that. Now, do you think that procrastination is also stemming from our emotions, or is that there's a different issue there?
No, absolutely. I full on now, I'm a life coach. I've been a minister for a long time, but I just wanted to put a disclaimer out there. I'm not a therapist whatsoever. So please note that this is just like my personal opinion in giving this, but having worked with people in a church sector, outside of a church sector, coaching, and just my own personal struggle with procrastination, I definitely feel that procrastination is more of an emotional setback than it is an actual, like, physical. Like, it, a lot of times we procrastinate because of emotions that are tied to whatever it is that we are trying to achieve. Oftentimes too, we procrastinate. So we have the emotions tied in with it, but then we also procrastinate because we just don't know where to start. And a lot of that, it ties in with the emotion part where we lack self-confidence, we lack the self-worth, where we don't want to move forward in this because we don't feel like we are worthy of this goal a lot of times. I procrastinate a lot on stuff. And I often have found myself that the times that I have procrastinated on stuff are when I don't have a overall good perspective of where I'm going. So I used to procrastinate without putting terms in place. Like I would have a SMART goal, but this whole terms concept, this was actually Brendon Burchard had shared this in a coaching or a seminar that I had went to of his. So I can't take credit for that. That was all Brendon Burchard. But I learned of like the terms, this acronym about like 2 years ago. And I had the whole goal setting down of like the SMART goals and how to properly write a goal and, you know, break a goal down and all that. And then when this whole terms aspect came in, I was like, wow, I really felt that prior to me learning how to write the terms out, I would still procrastinate, even though I had this goal that I had written out and I knew how to get there. I would still procrastinate because one, some of the emotions tied to it, I lacked, you know, maybe confidence in that area. Like, let's just go back to my goal as a writer. By nature, I don't say I am the best writer. You know, I'm a teacher. I went to school like to become an English teacher. I spent a season in lots of literature classes and stuff, although I did change my major. So I didn't actually get my degree in English. let's just say I got my minor in English. Doesn't make me a pro, right? I do love to write and I love to read, but I feel like who wants to read what I have to say? Like no one wants to read my story. So that those emotions that are tied into where I feel like God is calling me to share my story, that comes in and I'm like, wow, what is it, like, what are the true terms and what's really going on that's holding me back from pursuing this goal? It's the self-doubt. It's the lack of confidence that I have that is allowing me to move forward on this, you know? So I procrastinate because I sit with those emotions. I had also found that there was a long period of me procrastinating actually to launch my podcast. So I'm 5 seasons into my podcast now. I've recorded 84 episodes. And when I had that nudge in my gut to start this podcast, again, I went back to nobody wants to hear me talk. Nobody wants to listen to my opinion. I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times. I'm probably going to piss people off. You know, I'm going to offend people, like all this stuff. And I was just like, no. And then I knew nobody at that time. I absolutely knew nobody that was in the podcasting sector. So I was like, how do I start? Like I was completely overwhelmed. So you have emotions that stop you. You have the lack of clarity of your goals. And then you just have the, I don't know what I'm doing, like the complete overwhelm. So those are three different things that I think really cause procrastination with us. So a lot of times, like unpacking your emotions, that's not just something that you can write down and like, oh, it's done. I unpacked all my emotions here. Like, I mean, you have to really unpack the emotions that are connected with procrastination. Lack of clarity on your goals. That's something easy that you know, just sit down, SMART goals, your terms, and just really look at what does this look like as a long-term goal? What is it going to take of me? Is this something that is truly attainable? And then eliminating the sense of overwhelm. And that's where a life coach is perfect for helping to eliminate that sense of overwhelm. I was a life coach when I sought out my own life coach during this time before I launched the podcast. There was a lot of overwhelm. There was a lot of unknown and I just had to like get everything together, you know? So I sought out after a life coach, and she really, actually, I had two life coaches. I had one who was actually a mentor of mine. And then I have another one who was one of my pastors that he turned in a life coach. And they both really helped me to process some of the things that were holding me back and to move forward. Like, okay, Leslie, what does it look like to move forward in this direction of where you want to go? And that's where the life coach just really helps you to move forward. It's not so much unpacking the emotions and stuff in the past, but we are aware of that. And, you know, there can be like very light conversations about, okay, why do you think that this emotion is holding you back? But we focus on moving forward. So allowing, seeking help from someone that can help you to move forward. And that can be a life coach, that can be a mentor. You know, there's lots of different spaces and places out there where you can gravitate to somebody that can help you to move forward. Just even the act of journaling, Samantha, like is huge. Like journaling your emotions, that has been something that has probably, I'm not against therapy at all. Done it, love it, absolutely. But I have probably saved more money just journaling than actually going to therapy. You know what I mean? Like just that alone, processing my emotions, my overwhelm, going pen to paper and just having at it has like, it just helped me so, so much in getting from point A to B. But there are so many different avenues that you can take. You got to figure out one, what works best for you. And two, I think it's a combination of everything, you know, like, hey, maybe seeking a life coach, making sure that you're doing daily journaling, making sure that you are aligned with, you know, or maybe it is even seeking a therapist for stuff. But just making sure that you are putting yourself in spaces and places that is going to allow you to just move forward.
I feel like coaches are the first to invest in other coaches because we see the value in them, right? Like we know the power of them and we're like, yes, this is the season that I'm in. We honor that. And we're like, this is the type of person that I need. And once you experience it, it's such an incredible experience that you want more of it. Yes. When you're saying that and the journaling and whatnot, how would you say listeners can create those sustainable habits like journaling to ensure that those goals do become a reality? And like we've talked about what to do and the terms and all of that. Are there any other like actual habits to put in place that you do or that you help your clients do so that they actually like come to fruition instead of just like stay on their vision board?
Yes. So I have a daily practice. I have actually created a journal. It's a goals, gratitude and prayer journal. And in this journal, it's the same prompt that I do every day. I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for. They look different every day. And when I look for things to be grateful for, I am looking for things like, I mean, my family, my health, my faith, all of those are great things to be thankful for on a daily basis. But I'm looking for things that I normally would not look for on a day. So when I write down my gratitude, I'm looking at things in the last 24 hours, things that I was grateful for. Like I was grateful for walking my dog and seeing black and gold butterflies that remind me of my cousin that passed away. You know, I wrote down that I was grateful the other day while out walking too, there was this little old lady that was walking past me and my dog, and she just made the cutest little smile and said hello like to my dog. It was just the cutest thing, and it just made my heart like warm, you know. I wrote that down in my gratitude journal, like I'm grateful for the little lady that, you know, said hello to my puppy. So I am looking for little things like that that we like kind of take advantage of. You know, it's one thing to, like I said, I am so grateful for my health. I am grateful that God wakes me up every day. I'm grateful for my family, all of that, great things to be grateful for. But there's so much more that we are surrounded by that I think we miss opportunities to be grateful for the little things, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is the practice that I do every day, is I do the gratitude journal. And then I write down five goals that I am working on and five, like, I call them pipe dreams. So every day I am writing down, for instance, I'll go back to my goal that I shared that I want to be an author. And I write these five goals as if they happened. So I am writing down, I am a author. I launched a new journal. Like, these are all specific goals that I am actively working on. And I write down five of those. And then my next five are, they're goals, but they haven't turned into action items yet. So that's why I call them like pipe dreams. So I have a dream or goal to fly my family to Africa first class. I don't know how that's going to happen. We're a family of four. That's really expensive first class seating there. But I don't want to spend 20 hours on a flight and not be in first class, right? So this is a huge dream that I haven't turned into an actionable reality yet. And that's just sits there, and I write the same thing down every day. So once my actionable goals, once those are actually completed, I cross it off and say done. And then I fill it with a new actionable goal. My pipe dreams or my big goals that I haven't turned action yet, I keep writing them down. I keep writing them down because it's just a reminder. And I've been writing down that I want to take my family to Africa for on first class. I've probably been writing that same dream down for, I want to say, like 4 or 5 years. And I have not yet turned it into an actionable goal yet, because we're not there yet. You know, my oldest son's still in college. My youngest one's in high school. I have a lot of education to pay for still. So taking a first class flight with my family to Africa probably is not the wisest decision just yet for the season that we're in. But it's a huge goal or dream that I have of mine that one day we will get there. So that is how I write in my journal. And then I write a prayer for the day. Doing the same prompt every day, it reminds me and aligns me of the actions that I need to take for the day. And again, because I'm a teacher, repetition, there is a hand-brain connection that it makes. And I'm sure you have probably shared with the audience before, like even just the act of journaling. Why do we journal with pen to paper? Because there is a hand-eye coordinate or brain-hand connection that our brain actually makes with us moving our hands to journal and write things out. It connects with your brain better. That's why when, as teachers, like we in pre-K, 3-year-olds, we are teaching kids to write with pen and paper. We're not teaching them to type first, even though we're in that world where everything is typing. It's easy. You know, I have people say like, well, I don't ever write pen to paper. Like I keep everything in my phone, or I journal on my tablet, my computer. I would recommend that you don't. You're not connected with your what you are journaling. You're not connected with your goals. You're not connected with what it is that you are aiming for, because your brain triggers things differently when you are writing them out. So as a educator, as a teacher, and someone who loves neuroscience and has learned a lot about the brain, I am not a neuroscientist. I just love to study the brain. I will tell you that there is a whole, like, look it up, the neuroscience between of writing things down and how your brain connects to it. Not typing things out, not putting it on your smartphone, actually writing it out. We were made to write things out for a reason. So when it comes to writing your goals out on a daily basis, it is like triggering these neurons in your brain to remind you who you have to be daily, the actions you need to take daily. Am I working on all of these goals at the same time? No, I can't. I can't be an author and fly my family to Africa at the same day. Like, no. So as much as I wish I could, but I know that as I write these goals down every day, it just reminds me of who I need to be in the direction of where I need to go. So definitely that is the practice that I have been doing for like several years now. And I swear by the practice so much, Samantha, that that's why I created a journal. I used to do that practice just in a blank notebook. And I just like would write the prompts like gratitude, goals, prayer. And then I realized the impact of what it had on my life. So that's why I created the journal, so that people can practice this daily and have the same success that I have had.
What I love especially is the gratitude. One of my pet peeves is gratitude journaling, because I think most people do it in the way that you said, of just like, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for this sunny day. I'm great. You know what I mean? Like such basic things. And I love the way that you do it. And when I do do it, it's specific things like that, like the black and gold butterfly that reminded me of this, and like the tiny moments that you can feel, like the moments that make you feel something, no matter how small and silly it might be for somebody else, like that feeling is what you're going for, because that makes you like show up differently. And it makes, you know, I love that too, that you're starting with that, because when you then write goals from that place, from the feeling of like good and positivity, and you know, even like memories of your, did you say it was your cousin who passed away? You know, like it's just a completely different mindset that you are coming at those goals from, you know.
And I'll be honest, Samantha, there are days like when I'm having a hard day, the last thing that I want to do is write gratitude out. That I'm not kidding. On some of my hardest days, when I go back and look at my gratitude journal, that's when I wrote, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my faith. I'm grateful for my family. Like I kept it basic, but I know that that was a really hard day for me. Mm. Like going back, for instance, I have my cousin, I lost him last year. He was like a brother to me, very close. And while he was in the hospital and before he had passed, that's why we saw black and gold butterflies like everywhere. So when I see black and gold butterflies, it just reminds me of him. So when I go back this time last year, my cousin passed away in July. It had been a year. And I look back a lot of times at my journal, like what did I write this time last year? My days of gratitude when he had passed away, I wrote, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my family, because it was so hard during that time for me to be grateful. And I'll be honest, I was angry with God because my cousin should not have passed. Just put it that way. It was a really hard season. So it's okay to have those seasons when you just are like, you know what? It's hard to find something to be grateful for today, but because I am disciplined in doing it daily and I commit myself to doing that discipline, I'm just like, I'm grateful for my faith. I'm grateful for my health. Really basic. Mm-hmm. The days when I know like, oh, I had a really good day, that's when I'm like, I wrote down that the little old lady that said hi to my puppy, because I was looking for it, because I was open to gratitude that day. And sometimes we get closed off, and sometimes I'll sit there on those hard days and I'm like, I don't know what I was grateful for the last 24 hours because I was closed off to it. So I love that I can go back and it kind of reminds me, I look at the date and maybe like where I'm at, I'll even read the prayer and I'll know I was in a rough season that time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think too, it might seem basic, and I'm not sure why your cousin passed, but I'm sure that like family and health were probably a priority at that point too. So,
Even and like I said, I don't want to like throw that off as like, that's nothing to be grateful for, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. But it's when we start to look for the little things that we just take advantage of, you know, even something as like, I'm grateful that I have running water. Like there are countries that don't have running water, things that we just really overlook, that it's almost like we feel entitled to certain things. Yeah. And then when you really start to think about things that we should be grateful for, you know, I live in Southern California. I am grateful for our weather. I am so grateful for our weather. So just, you know, little things like that it's like not everybody has things that we have to be grateful for. And when we start to see those little things, it really sets the tone for my day. Also, if I do not do that practice in the morning, Samantha, my day is like, it's off. It's crazy. My day is off. And I will go back. There's some mornings, if I slept through the alarm, you know, things just were crazy and I didn't have time to sit and do my morning routine, I promise you, I'm probably not going to have a good day. Things are just going to get funky. Things like I'm going to get overwhelmed, stressed, have anxiety, like all of that, if I don't set my days. So I it is rare that I do not do that practice.
I love that. It's so grounding to have a practice that you enjoy and that you can show up for on a consistent basis. One last question that I have for you before I let you go, since this is a journaling community and a lot of my listeners do enjoy journaling, and you, I'd like to say that you are an author since you do have a journal out there, but what would you say is your favorite journal prompt?
Okay. And this is because I'm a life coach and I'm big on like goals. This is it. I'm big about action too. So this is the journal prompt. It is, if there is one specific action that you can take today to live out your faith in a tangible way, what would it be? So what is that one action step that I can take to just live out my faith or who I want to be that will allow me to move forward? So I'm all about taking action and making sure that you are taking actionable steps. So that would be my prompt.
So good. I love it. Leslie, thank you so much for being here with us today. Where can my listeners find you?
My platform is Instagram. That's where I mostly show up and I'm most active on. And my Instagram is at your joyful order style. It's a long one, I know, and it's a mouthful, but it's at your joyful order style. I also have a podcast, Your Joyful Order. And those are probably the best two places that you can find me.
Perfect. And everything that we mentioned, including those two resources, will be in the show notes too for you guys to check out. Thank you again, Leslie, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's journal entry. I love connecting with my listeners, so make sure you screenshot this episode and tag me on Instagram at samantha.s.says so I know you're listening. And don't forget to grab your free training and journal prompts at www.samanthapenkoff.com/podcast.